The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunities and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Let me just start by saying, if you voted for Trump, and you came to see me, you fucked up again. This shit's not normal, y'all. It's not normal. Come on. The lying, the tweeting, the play dates with dictators. Come on. This shit is not normal. It's not normal that I know that I'm smarter than the president. That's not normal. Come on, in the Mueller investigation, how does he not know that he's individual number one?
Good question.
Come on. Everybody who's been indicted or going to jail, Papadopoulos, Gates, Flynn, Manafort, it all says in the Mueller report that they co-conspired with individual number one. Motherfucker, that's you! All right. If everybody you come in direct contact with gets herpes, wouldn't you be like, am I giving everybody herpes?
Yeah.
But no. President Trump tweets, all clear. Too bad for individual number one. Hashtag sad. No, motherfucker, you have herpes. You are patient zero. Shit's not normal, y'all. It's not normal.
No, it isn't.
Here's another thing that's not normal. Presidents, they've all aged while in office, right?
Right.
Because the job is so fucking stressful that it affects you physically. We've seen it. Obama, first 2 years, President Obama went totally gray. His face started drooping, got all droopy in the face. I don't know, one time I was like, is that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Is that Kareem? What the hell? George W. Bush, he shrunk 4 inches. At one point, he was looking like Gollum from the Lord of the Rings. Ah, my precious! My precious! Bill Clinton, he grew that bulb on the tip of his nose. What the fuck was that? Bill Clinton looked like the man on the operation board. But not Trump. Nope. Mm-mm. He's on executive time. Trump hasn't aged, but we have.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
He is fucking us up. Everybody's looking older. You know how they say some women have resting bitch face? Well, Trump has given me resting what the fuck face. Every morning, I'm looking in the mirror like, what the fuck? What? I got crow's feet. I got a fucking divot in my forehead. Like, he has cracked black.
Oh, my God. He has cracked black. That is Wanda Sykes from her brand new Netflix special called Not Normal, which David and I watched, watched some of it last night until I couldn't keep my eyes open anymore. Funny, funny, funny. And let me just give another shout out to Wanda Sykes in case I didn't say it yesterday when I was talking about the live All in the Family and Jeffersons that ABC aired, I believe it was Thursday night, with Norman Lear. That was so good. She was, sorry, while I bump somebody out of our YouTube chat room who's a Hillary or Bust fan. That person's deleted. Anyway, I digress. She played Louise Jefferson, Wanda Sykes did, on Thursday night in that ABC reboot of All in the Family and the Jeffersons. And she was the best one in either cast. So there you go. Welcome to a Friday. It is the Friday before Memorial Day. Yes, so we are embarking on a long holiday weekend. We are here live today. And as promised yesterday, I will do a very special podcast on Monday. I've been doing podcasts weekly of some of my music interviews from the late 90s, early to late 90s, in Los Angeles. And so I send those out over the weekend. But on Monday, I said I'll do a special Memorial Day podcast and podcast my one and only interview with the amazing Norman Lear. It was from about 12 or so years ago. But hey, it's Norman Lear, you know. All right, so we'll do that. Anyway, we are here live. It is Friday. It's the Friday, as I said before, Memorial Day. Congress is on recess. The House returns June 4th. The Senate, I believe, June 3rd. And they left too much unfinished business on the table. We'll get to in just a second, including, any action taken by the House Judiciary Committee against Attorney General Bill Barr or Trump or answering the impeachment question or any of that stuff. I have a problem with the fact that they're going to be gone for a week when, the only voices we'll hear probably are from Donald Trump and his minions who insist on lying about everything. So joining us on the show today, I'm really excited. I got to interview Elizabeth Holtzman once before. It was almost exactly 6 months ago when her book was released. It's called The Case for Impeaching Trump. Boy, she was ahead of her time, huh? And Elizabeth Holtzman is the perfect person not only to write that book, but to talk about what's happening with the calls for the impeachment of Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi's decision that we are not on the path to impeachment. I want Elizabeth Holtzman's take on that. So I'm thrilled she will be joining us again in the second half of the program. I'm honored that she'll be here. In fact, I keep checking my email because I sent an email to her assistant just reconfirming the interview. She's emailing me questions about it right now. Anyway, so we'll talk to Elizabeth Holtzman at the bottom of the hour. Before we get to that, I guess we should go over some of the news. And this being the Friday before Memorial Day, it's the classic Friday afternoon news dump time. So what news has broken today that this administration would want to dump on a Friday afternoon before a long holiday weekend? Well, why don't we start with this one? The Trump administration announced earlier today that we will be sending roughly 1,500 troops to the Middle East in order to counter Iran's influence in the region. Oh, God. Trump said the new deployment will force protection, will provide force protection for existing troops. What else? Oh, you know how yesterday we told you that the Senate, before they left, passed disaster relief, the disaster relief bill, to finally send some money to Puerto Rico, you know, money that Trump withheld from them, and all the other fire-ravaged parts of the country. It's a $19 billion package. The House had already left for their recess by the time the Senate got around to voting on this yesterday afternoon. But they sort of cut a deal that they would pass it, the House would pass it by unanimous consent, and it would go on to the president for a signature. Well, a longtime former Hill staffer who served as Ted Cruz's chief of staff and is now a member of Congress, Congressman Chip Roy of Texas, who is now a fully vested member of the conservative House Freedom Caucus, he blocked that unanimous consent vote on the disaster relief bill today. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. His argument was that the House should not have recessed before debating the legislation and holding a vote. I agree with him on that, but this is bullshit. Frankly, just bullshit. Okay, more. You want more Friday afternoon news dump type news? How about this one? This one just crossed over my desktop a few minutes ago. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo notified lawmakers today that Donald Trump will make the move to complete 22 arms deals that would benefit Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and other countries, despite lawmakers' objections to the transactions. And it's lawmakers from both sides of the aisle had urged this administration not to take the step of declaring an emergency to push through the deals, which are worth about $8 billion. But the Trump administration did it today. They declared an emergency to push through these arms deals with Saudi Arabia against the recommendations of Congress. If you don't think we need impeachment now, you're sadly mistaken. This, I don't know that I would classify it as a news dump, because I don't think the Trump administration is responsible for this piece of news. But it comes as Trump is flying to Japan to meet with Prime Minister Abe, that North Korea issued a statement today saying that nuclear negotiations with the United States will never resume unless the Trump administration moves away from what Pyongyang described as unilateral demands for disarmament. Yeah. The North Korean spokesman accused the U.S. of deliberately causing February's collapse of talks between Trump and Kim Jong-un with unilateral and impossible demands. That's a quote. We are so screwed. We are so screwed. And then the news continues from there. And you know what's going on. We've got to be the laughingstock of the world. The taunting between the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and the man occupying the Oval Office continued yesterday. Pelosi's talk of an intervention for Trump and her comments voicing concern for his well-being really have gotten under his orange skin. Ooh. Okay, hold on. Why is my sound not working? Oh, man, I hate it when this... Okay, I see what happened here. Let's... I'm laughing because the volume control on my computer just seems to be pushing itself down, and I don't know why it's doing that. That is really, really weird. Tell me I can't play any audio while this is happening? Oh, shit. This is not good. because it keeps turning the audio down. Why is it doing that? And I can't even go to a recorded bit to figure out the problem here. Okay, I figured out a way to play a YouTube video of the Parody Project doing a great new song parody for your enjoyment while I fix the audio problem. So enjoy the Parody Project on the Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. Hey!
the war. We've been through all that before. There is no religion worth war.
Hey!
No one wins but you and yours.
The gig is up.
Stop. Same tricks too many times.
The gig is up.
Stop your politics, our war crimes.
The gig is up.
Stop. The country's now awakened.
The gig is up.
Gonna take back what was taken.
You wanna lie us into war like you did many times before. Weren't you aware that we all swore? We ain't gonna do that no more.
We don't believe you anymore. You don't respect what we stand for. You want us in perpetual war.
Hey!
You profit from what we make war.
The gig is up.
Stop accusing them of what you do.
The gig is up.
Stop all destroying when you get through.
The gig is up.
Stop. We're in the mood for changing things.
The gig is up.
We're up for rearranging
things. You wanna lie us in the war like you did many times before.
It's a cascade of deceit.
You wanna lie us in the war.
A cruel pattern you repeat
like you did many times before.
You steal and lie and cheat.
Hey! You wanna lie us in the war.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Parody Project, for coming to the rescue. That, let me just explain some producery stuff for you. That was able to play on YouTube because it goes through the streaming program. It's not running through my computer. So that's why I was able to get it playing. And while it was playing, I honestly didn't do anything. My glitchy computer somehow fixed itself. So we're back in business again. Whew. Anyway, thank you to the Parody Project. They're at, I believe, parodyproject.org. They do these great song parodies, and that worked out just fine. Okay, so now I can go back to what I what I was doing before. We were so rudely interrupted by my temperamental computer. So what I was telling you was the taunting between the Speaker of the House and the man occupying the Oval Office continued yesterday. Pelosi's talk of an intervention for Trump and her comments voicing concern for his well-being have definitely gotten under his orange skin.
He was not prepared.
There we go.
And so he used some excuse to go out the door. Who's in charge here? Because you agree and then all of a sudden something changes. What goes on there? Who's in charge? I pray for the President of the United States. I wish that his family or his administration or his staff would have an intervention for the good of the country. Maybe he wants to take a leave of absence. I don't know. We can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Well, I don't know that Nancy thinks they can do that. But anyway, yesterday, this is just, I can't believe what I'm about to say because it is so inconceivable. Again, I've used this analogy so many times, but if somebody wrote a movie script laying out the last 2 years that we've been through, with the orange idiot in the Oval Office. No movie studio would buy it because it's too implausible. Too implausible. So yesterday, Trump hijacked his own White House event in which he was announcing a $16 billion bailout, socialism, to farmers hurt by his trade war with China to push back on Pelosi's assertion that he had a temper tantrum during their brief meeting on Wednesday. So he went around the room calling on the various aides that were there to vouch for his temperament. Kellyanne Conway, Mercedes Schlapp, Larry Kudlow, Hogan Gidley, and Sarah Sanders all claim he was calm. Then Trump went on to repeat a claim he had previously made about himself.
I'm an extremely stable genius.
Oh my fucking God. He actually said it again.
I'm an extremely stable genius.
You can't make this shit up. And then he continued attacking Pelosi throughout the day on Twitter, including tweeting out a doctored video of awkward moments from her presser held earlier in the day, deceptively edited and aired by Fox, with the statement, Pelosi stammers through news conference. Oh, my God. This, while another fake video of Pelosi slowed her down to make her appear drunk or otherwise impaired, tweeted out by Rudy Giuliani, that then went viral on social media, advancing the idea that Pelosi is unwell. You've heard it before, but we are firmly entrenched in opposite world.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
And so here we are. And then this story, something else I want to ask Elizabeth Holtzman about. Trump is pushing back against the Democrats' investigations by demanding that the Department of Justice investigate the oranges. I got Trump on the brain. The origins of the Mueller probe, or as Trump puts it,
I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges of the investigation, the beginnings of that investigation. About the Mueller report. The Mueller report, I wish, covered the oranges, how it started.
The
beginnings
oranges.
Of the investigation.
Yeah, the oranges.
How it started.
All right. In a disturbing move regarding an already troubling investigation by a sitting president of what he considers his political opponents, Trump ordered the CIA and the 15 other intelligence agencies to cooperate with this review of the oranges of the Mueller probe. He also granted his attorney general, William Barr, the authority to unilaterally declassify intelligence documents. It is, again, inconceivable, to quote the Princess Bride. The move, which occurred just hours after the president again declared that those who led the investigation committed treason. He doesn't know what the fucking word treason means. He gave Barr immense leverage over the intelligence community and enormous power over what the public learns about the roots of the Russia investigation. The man is fucking insane. And on top of that, and I haven't really had the opportunity to talk about this, and I'm honestly a bit conflicted because I think Julian Assange is an asshole who turned Trumper in his idiocy, but that he's being targeted by this administration and indicted on 17 counts of violating the Espionage Act. The Espionage Act. Nobody outside of the government has ever been charged with the Espionage Act. This is bullshit, and it's intended to put a damper on freedom of the press and the First Amendment. Now, I do not believe Julian Assange was acting as a journalist, but let's say he was. In this case, he's a publisher who, asks for tips from its readership, as many do. he should not be charged under the Espionage Act. I don't know what, again, I'm not a lawyer, and this is something else I'd like to ask Elizabeth Holtzman about, but, this administration is doing everything in its power to try to shut down a free press, including using, fascist tropes like calling the media the enemy of the people. The media is inherent, is necessary to a free and open society. A free and open press is a requirement of a free and open democracy, or democratic republic in this case. Again, personally, I don't like him. I think he's a slime dog and a piece of shit. At the beginning, I didn't feel that way, but I think something warped in his mind during this weird 2016 campaign. The whole thing is just this is more of Trump's plan, I think, to turn us into an autocracy, to upend our free press. And I don't know, to become the dictator that he is so inspired by. And there are a number of them. Yeah. And you're right. I'm looking into looking at the YouTube chat room, and Rex says only a psychopath would proclaim that he's a stable genius or a narcissistic egomaniac. And that's what he is. And I'm not going to play audio for you. Before they departed the White House for Japan, that's where the Trumps are headed now, he again stopped down to talk to the media and just was whining, Nancy Pelosi, she was mean to me. Did you hear what she said about me? And I'm not exaggerating. I should have pulled the audio so you could hear. He is a... to quote Bill Maher, whiny little bitch who needs to be impeached. So let me again, explain. And I don't understand Nancy Pelosi's motivation. I really don't. Other than the only thing I can figure is that she's just terrified of impeachment. She before she ever got the speaker's gavel back in, what year was it, 2006? She declared impeachment for George W. Bush was off the table before she even had the gavel in her hand. I think Nancy Pelosi is afraid of impeachment. It is a constitutional tool. And again, we'll ask Elizabeth Holtzman about it. So let's not wait any longer, because it is now 3:30. I can officially call her. hopefully she's ready for our call. I told you I've been getting emails from her in the last hour or so. But we're calling Elizabeth Holtzman. She is a former... Miss Holtzman, it's Nicole Sandler calling. How are you doing today?
Yes. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming back. Now, you were last on the show last November to talk about your book that had just been released at the time, The Case for Impeaching Trump. And, in the 6 months since, I think the case has only grown stronger. I'm really honored that Elizabeth Holtzman is with us today. She's a former congressperson who represented New York's 16th congressional district for four terms. She was also the first woman to be New York City comptroller and the first female district attorney for Brooklyn. In fact, you were DA when I lived in Brooklyn, so I'm thrilled that you represented me in that respect.
Thank you.
Ms. Holtzman, as I said, a lot has transpired in the 6 months since we last spoke, but your book is even more relevant today than it was then. You've been saying that Donald Trump should be impeached for his actions apart from the Mueller report, which upon publication of your book we hadn't seen yet. So you told me in November that you believe Donald Trump committed impeachable offenses, high crimes and or misdemeanors, in actions before we even got to the Mueller report, right?
Well, yes, I believe that you can certainly make a case. As I said then and still believe now, I mean, the case has only gotten stronger, mm-hmm. but there were, at the time I wrote my book, there was still information that needed to be obtained. But the outlines of the high crimes and misdemeanors were very clear. the firing of Comey. We knew about attempts to fire Mueller. These were all undertaken or appeared to be undertaken to stop a professional, important, actually vital investigation into whether a foreign country collaborated, conspired with an American person to undermine our election system. That's pretty important. And the president seemed to try to be obstructing it at that time. We have only gotten additional information since then and corroborative information. We also know about his dangling pardons in front of people. Again, this is just like a page taken out of the Nixon impeachment. So there was substantial information from which you could infer that a strong case could be made for the impeachment of the president. Although, as I said then, I still believe you need to flesh that out a bit, not by much, but you need to flesh it out. And most important, you need to be able to explain to the American people in a very simple way what the misdeeds are, what the high crimes and misdemeanors are, what the abuses of power are that President Trump engaged in that make him liable for impeachment and removal from office.
So I'm guessing you read, if not all, at least good portions of the Mueller report.
No, I read it all.
Oh, you did. Of course you did. When reading it, we knew a lot of this stuff because, as it turns out, the media that Trump decries as fake news all the time was pretty accurate in a lot of their reporting. We had already learned much of this stuff. It was just confirmed by the report. Is there anything in it that really surprised you?
Well, I think that what surprised me was that how, as you said, how accurate the reporting was. I don't think there's a fact in my book that I would change, and that book was finalized in September of last year, almost 9 months ago. So,
right.
What had come out by that time seems to be standing up pretty firmly now. But what was surprising to me was, the fact that he was enlisting his top aides in the effort to obstruct. I mean, getting his White House counsel to try to fire Mueller, to try to tell Sessions to constrict the scope of the investigation so that it would only focus on future things and not on his behavior. I mean, these are things that are kind of jaw-dropping. Because you'd think he'd be smart enough not to be saying that to somebody who works for him, but he's not. He's not a very smart man. He thinks he's a stable genius. He's neither stable nor a genius.
No, that is the truth. But then he gets people to lie for him. I mean, so you mentioned his White House counsel, Don McGahn, who was subpoenaed to testify before the House Judiciary Committee last week and opted not to show up because Donald Trump told him he didn't want him to testify. Now, as far as I know, Don McGahn is now a private citizen. Does Donald Trump have the right to tell him not to testify?
Well, it's a free country still.
You
can say what you think, but Donald McGahn shouldn't be listening to him.
Right.
And even though there's a Justice Department opinion that says that a president's counsel has complete immunity, I mean, that opinion isn't worth a piece of paper it's written on. It's obviously nonsense. And McGahn should be smart enough to know that. McGahn's not a stupid person, but he's acting in a very stupid way. And he's acting in a way contrary to the rule of law and to basically the system of justice that we have. Congress subpoenaed him. He's already testified about this under oath, under oath to the special prosecutor. And why he won't do this in public, it's inexcusable. And I hope he has to pay a very serious penalty. I hope Congress holds him in contempt. I hope that they actually use their inherent contempt powers to force him to pay a serious fine. I mean, really substantial. Frankly, if they had a jail set up, they should jail him because his behavior is completely incomprehensible. There is no rule, and the framers of the Constitution never would have created such a rule that allows the president to conspire with his top aides and keep that secret from the Congress.
Right.
That's just, it's inconceivable that would happen.
Word I've been using since the show began. So much is inconceivable about this man and this administration. So, Elizabeth Holtzman, I don't want to make your head explode, but I've got to ask your thoughts on the Attorney General, William Barr. First of all, there was a month between the time the report was given to him from Mueller's office and when Congress and the public got to see it. All we had to go on was Barr's now infamous four-page summary and his testimony in which he claimed Trump was exonerated, even though he included the line from the report saying that it didn't exonerate him. Bill Barr has, Donald Trump has stated openly that he wanted his own Roy Cohn as Attorney General. It seems like he's gotten it now. What do you make of Bill Barr? I see openly lying to Congress and misleading the American public, or lying, to put it bluntly, to the American people about what the Mueller report found.
Well, there's no question that Barr deliberately misled Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this is not the first time he did it. Many, many years ago, when he was previously in the Justice Department, he also misled Congress. But let's just focus on now. I mean, he was asked by Congressman Crist as to whether Barr knew whether Mueller was upset or the people on his team were upset. And he said, no, I don't have any knowledge about that. But of course he did.
Yep.
I mean, he might not have known about the members of the team, but he
had already gotten Mueller's letter.
He'd already gotten Mueller's report, and Mueller was referring to which implied that he was talking not only about himself, but also the people who worked for him. So I think, you know, somebody just wrote an article saying that even if you tell the truth, if it's misleading, it could be perjury. And maybe we ought to consider a demand for a special prosecutor to determine whether Mr. Barr engaged in perjury before Congress.
Now, okay, Elizabeth Holtzman, you mentioned a special prosecutor. Let me go back with a little bit of history. Again, you have a unique standing to weigh in on impeachment. For those not familiar with your history, there are a lot of parallels with, I believe, one of the more exciting freshman members of Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You won your seat in Congress by primarying a 50-year incumbent and the longest-serving member in the House at the time. At 31 years old, you became the youngest woman ever elected to Congress. By comparison, AOC beat Joe Crowley, who was third in line in the Democratic Party, a long incumbent. And now at 29, she's the youngest. So I think you're being succeeded nicely. You served on the House Judiciary Committee, where in 1974, you were one of the youngest committee members who recommended, voted for three articles of impeachment against Nixon during the Watergate scandal. And you also authored legislation allowing for an independent counsel. It passed in 1978 and expired in 99. Now, would we have been better off if the independent counsel statute still stood, as opposed to having a special counsel investigating? And where does this fall in with an independent counsel?
You bet. I mean, when I drafted the special counsel legislation, we drafted it with Watergate in mind. It was only by accident that a special counsel was appointed, independent prosecutor was appointed to investigate Nixon. Nixon's Justice Department was investigating the Watergate break-in, and even a conservative Republican judge knew that something was wrong because he said, I don't know what they're doing in the Justice Department. They're not asking the right questions. This is really ridiculous. He smelled something really bad. He smelled a rat.
Yeah.
So he said, we've got to do something about this. So we drafted the legislation to ensure that the special prosecutor would be independent of the White House, not appointed by the Attorney General. So now we have and the Attorney General could not interfere with the investigation. That was critically important. So here we have, we don't know why Mueller shut down this investigation when he did. It's obvious that there's some very important investigations that have not been completed, but that's one thing. But we certainly wouldn't have had a situation where the special prosecutor had made no finding and the Attorney General could have overruled him.
Yeah.
I think that would have been inconceivable under my statute. And it's really wrong that Congress, both the Republicans and Democrats are at fault here, let that statute expire, because we would be better off as a country if any president, whether the president is Republican or Democrat, any president should be held accountable by an independent inquiry, not by an attorney general who is politically appointed and politically beholden to the president. That's
right.
Never going to work, and this is what we have now, and it's a disgrace. And, you know, it makes me very sad, because the legislation I proposed had been supported and by Archibald Cox himself, who was the special prosecutor in Watergate, who was fired by Nixon, supported by Peter Rodino, who was the chair of the House Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the co-authors of that legislation with me. So we had some very smart and very highly respected people supporting that legislation, and it should still be in place. And we wouldn't have the situation where a politically appointed attorney general responsive to the president, who's under investigation, can control the press, the story, the narrative, and the report that's issued.
Right.
It's shocking that it's come to this. And obviously, once President Trump is out of office, one of the things that the American people should demand from Congress is a statute that will never allow this kind of thing to happen again. I mean, I thought I wrote a statute,
yes,
that wouldn't allow it to happen again.
But they let,
but
it
Congress
expire.
Let it expire.
And so for the sake of the listeners who don't quite get the difference between an independent prosecutor like you had with Watergate and the special counsel that we had in Robert Mueller is the special counsel falls under the authority of the Department of Justice. He reports directly to the Attorney General. In the case of Sessions, he had rightly so recused himself. Barr did no such thing and instead is serving as Donald Trump's Roy Cohn, for lack of a better term.
And worse, the point of having an independent prosecutor was to take the political appointees in the Justice Department out of the decision-making process,
mm-hmm,
when it came to whether the president committed a crime. That was the reason to take them out. There's no way they could be, in fact, fair and objective, and there's no way they could be perceived to be fair and,
right,
objective. So the purpose was to take out when the president of the United States is accused or is seriously under investigation for the commission of crimes. You cannot have the president controlling the investigation, either directly or indirectly. That's ridiculous. That's what happens in a dictatorship. That's what happens in authoritarian governments. That's not what happens,
right,
in a democracy. And that's what the special prosecutor legislation was designed to do, get politics out of the investigation of a president. Okay.
And
so
yet,
now we have politics,
yeah,
right back in, and Barr is charging right in like a bull in a china shop. And what is he breaking? He's not breaking dishes. He's breaking our democracy. He's breaking our system of justice. He's breaking the rule of law. What he's doing is pretending to be attorney general, chief law enforcement officer,
yes,
of the United States. But he's actually doing the bidding of Donald Trump. I don't blame him for doing the bidding of Donald Trump. That's why he was appointed.
Mm-hmm.
But he needed to have somebody independent who wasn't under his control, who could be making the decisions about the report, what's to be in it, what's to be released, and so forth. And that's really a very troubling thing now that we have happening in the United States, which is the president is controlling the independence of the prosecution or investigation against him, and now he wants to control the investigation of his political opponents,
yep,
which is, you,
hello,
know, here we are.
Here we are.
Banana Republic.
Yep.
Here
I,
we are. What kind of country is this?
That's what I'd like to know. And as you said, so now Trump has decided they've put forth this false narrative. They've lied to the American people about what was in the Mueller report that clearly lays out, I believe, a case for impeachment. And you've got Donald Trump backed up by his attorney general saying no collusion, no obstruction. And now Donald Trump has ordered an investigation, as you said, of his political opponents, the people who who did the investigation, some of our most elite law enforcement people in the country, and he's given Bill Barr new broad powers to unilaterally declassify intelligence to the American people. Where are we?
Well, the point is that there was already an investigation. There are two investigations ongoing before Mr. Barr got himself involved.
Right.
Two investigations ongoing under the prior leadership of the Department of Justice into how the Russia investigation got started and how it was conducted. Apparently, Mr. Barr was not satisfied with the quality or the independence of those two investigations. One is being conducted by the Inspector General, independent of the politics of the Justice Department and Trump, another by a U.S. attorney in Utah. Well, now Barr is picking another U.S. attorney to re-examine this. Again, the U.S. attorney has no independence. He's just completely under the control of Barr. We'll see what happens here, but it's inappropriate, and it's very scary to have the attorney general, the political appointee, who's obviously acted in a completely political fashion and may, in fact, have lied to Congress and committed a crime. The attorney general himself is now purporting to investigate whether crimes were committed by the FBI, the CIA, and others. He's got no legitimacy to be doing this, and that's not how this should be conducted in a democracy. If somebody wins, Trump has won, he shouldn't be able to use the mechanism of the Justice Department and the system of law to go after his political opponents. That's not what our government is about. The
right.
Justice Department should be politically independent. It should be initiating investigations when they're warranted instead of what we have now. What this reminds me of, allowing Barr to rummage through the CIA files.
Uh-huh.
We don't know what kind of damage he's going to do.
Nope.
I just was reading about what happened in Austria, where a Nazi party was in government.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? They were one of the ministers in government. They went to the intelligence files, and what did they want to find? Who was reporting about neo-Nazis and right-wing fascists in Austria? So anybody who was reporting on right-wing fascists, that information was being turned over to the right-wing fascists.
Oh my God!
What kind of? Yes, that's right. That's just what happened in Austria. Now the question is, how will Barr use this really sensitive information about people? Here we have a president who's totally under Putin's thumb,
mm-hmm.
who grovels on the floor. I mean, if you think Tony Blair was Bush's poodle, I mean,
right?
What Trump is to Putin is 10 times a poodle. I mean, even a littler poodle, and one that just totally follows what he says. Just stop and think of what information could be given to the Russians.
So
what information could be given to the Russians about people who are spying for the U.S. government about Russia?
Oh, my God.
I think this is one of the most dangerous things that's happened to this country, which is to put a totally political guy, totally tied to a president who may be controlled entirely by Putin, in charge of getting the most sensitive information out.
I'm
really, really worried about this.
You and me both. It's frightening. And I think everybody
should be concerned.
Should be very concerned. I think we should be out taking to the streets. So I've got to ask you, Congresswoman Holtzman, your response to Nancy Pelosi's tactic here. Do you understand what she's doing?
Well, I think, you know, people don't understand that an impeachment, you can't just have impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way it works.
Right.
You can't just
open an inquiry,
impeachment,
right?
Because there's a process you
uh-huh.
have to go through. What happened in the House Judiciary Committee was that there was a resolution that was passed that said of the House authorizing the Judiciary Committee to start an inquiry
yes.
into whether there were grounds for impeachment. So the real question is, should that inquiry take place right now, or should the inquiry be conducted by various committees of Congress, Judiciary Committee, Finance Committee, and the like? To me, it doesn't really make that much difference, except that if you start an impeachment inquiry, then the Republicans can rally all this, rally their base against it, whereas you're just conducting a normal investigation, hard to rally the base. But the problem I see it is not what you call the inquiry, but that you conduct it. And I don't see that the Democrats have done this now. They need to make the case against Trump. Mm-hmm. They need to put live witnesses in a coherent who can give a coherent narrative about what Trump did that was bad. What Mueller lays out a number of possible, or I shouldn't say possible, of likely acts that constitute obstruction of justice. Although you don't need to commit a crime to be impeached for a high crime and misdemeanor, still, those grounds are very strong. But the American people don't know that. It's very complicated. There's a whole so many facts, a whole welter of facts have come out about Trump's misbehavior. People need to know clearly and simply, what did the president do? When did he do it? And what's wrong with what he did? Those are the things they need to know, and that hasn't happened yet. You can't educate the American people by asking them to read a 440-page report.
No.
It's Congress's responsibility to put that information out, preferably through live witnesses, to educate the American people about this.
Right. So what should they be doing?
So I think what the Speaker Nancy Pelosi is basically saying is that the committees could conduct their investigations, but they don't seem to be doing that. It just seems to me that they're getting caught up in the fight over Barr and the fight over McGahn. Fine, but where are those witnesses who will come forward? And there are many of those witnesses who can come forward and can talk about the misdeeds of Donald Trump and to make the case. That's what has to happen now.
Now, what do you think? Why didn't Mueller come to a conclusion? And why is he hedging on testifying in an open hearing?
Well, I don't know. There are a lot of things that trouble me about Mueller's behavior here. Number one, why didn't he go to the grand jury, to the judge and the federal judge in D.C., and ask the federal judge to turn over the grand jury material to Congress.
Yeah,
he could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the special counsel did, Leon Jaworski. That's how the House Judiciary Committee got those materials for the impeachment of Richard Nixon. Who did Mueller think was going to do that? And why didn't he undertake that to do that? So to me, that's a very big question about why he didn't do it. Secondly, why didn't he subpoena Trump? Why didn't he follow up on the issue that Trump failed to why didn't he follow up on questions that Trump failed to answer? Mueller was very quick to say that when Cohn said he'd been directed by Trump to lie, that wasn't accurate. But when the president gave information in his answers that was not accurate, that wasn't complete, well, where's Mueller on that point? So I think I'm very troubled about some of the things he's done, and I think he was wrong. My personal opinion is that he was wrong not to draw a conclusion. He is required by the regulations governing him to explain his declinations or his prosecution.
Right.
He declined to prosecute Trump, but he didn't explain it. He basically said, I think that it wouldn't be fair to the president to say that he committed a crime because he can't challenge that. Well, first of all, that's an absurd reason, because the president has the biggest bully pulpit in the world. He hasn't been shy about saying the whole investigation was a hoax. So it's ridiculous to say that he doesn't have any way of defending himself. Of course, he does have a way of defending himself. And this is sui generis. The reason you have an independent counsel there is because the American people need to know whether the person sitting in the Oval Office is a criminal or not.
Right.
That's what they need to know. And he was supposed to answer that question, and he didn't answer the question. Whether the president is going to be prosecuted or not is not the issue. The question is, is there probable cause to believe that he committed a crime? And if so, what is it? Because he's leaving the American people in the dark.
Right.
And this is not an issue of fairness to the president. The president can defend himself. He's a stable genius. He can defend himself. Stable genius can defend himself.
Yeah.
So I'm very troubled about Mueller. I think he may be a very good prosecutor, but handling the politics of this, I give him a failing grade on.
Yeah, you and me both. So we're obviously, the media is finally throwing around the term constitutional crisis. I think you'd agree that we're in one. The question is, what should the American people do? What should people like me, who are so frustrated and just, our heads are exploding, what should we be doing right now?
Okay, the first thing you should be doing, number one thing, is to demand that the House of Representatives get witnesses in front of it, and maybe who can tell the story in a simple, concrete way that the American people can understand what the president did that could constitute an impeachable offense. That needs to be spelled out for them. They do not know it. It's a lot of that is contained in the Mueller report, but most people haven't read it. 99% of the American people have not read the Mueller report. So the Congress has a responsibility to translate that report into simple terms, whether it's through witnesses or if the witnesses won't show up, then they've got to figure out some other way. But they're smart enough to do that. That's what they need to do first. Secondly, they need to be looking at these other issues, but not to the distraction of that main element, which is they must tell the story of Donald Trump's wrongdoing in a simple way. Look, why do you think Trump is stonewalling and trying to get witnesses to stonewall the Congress? He is a master. He, Trump, may be a genius at virtual reality. That's why he knows the danger of having witnesses come and testify to the truth of the bad things, the possible criminal things, the likely criminal things that Trump has done. He doesn't want the American people to see them. He's desperate about it. So Congress must. He knows the power. He knows better than anyone else the power that these witnesses have in terms of dramatizing the evil that he's done in the White House, the potential crimes he's committed, the misdeeds he's committed. So we've got to get those witnesses there, and if the witnesses can't show up in person, then somehow dramatize what's in the Mueller report. That's the responsibility of Congress right now, the most important thing they have to do. And, of course, the country's business, they can do that as well.
Yes, I fully agree. So we should all be calling our members of Congress and letting them know what we think they should do?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Elizabeth Holtzman, you are a national treasure. My husband and I, are excited when we see you pop up on our television. Thank you so much.
You.
I've truly enjoyed speaking with you. Your book is great. It is called The Case for Impeaching Trump. Again, it's been out about 6 months now, and it is only more important, I think, that people read it, because the case is there. We just need to convince our Democratic representatives to do the right thing on our behalf. Congresswoman Elizabeth Holtzman, thank you again. I really appreciate it, especially on the Friday of Memorial Day weekend. Your presence here is truly appreciated.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. You take care. Bye-bye. She really is a national treasure, and I'm thrilled that she came on the show. I hope you got as much out of that as I did. She's as incensed and outraged as we are. All right, so go call your members of Congress, especially if you've got one on the Judiciary Committee. Make your voices heard. They listen to us. Call, leave a message, email, fax. Visit their offices. They're in district this week. All right? Make your voices heard. And good luck to us all. All right. I'll see you Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.